Chapter 96, Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord, a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. And keep going, Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord, a new song. He has done marvelous things. Marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Psalm 101. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. We say other just a few random that speak of singing. Now singing, and I think most of you like to sing. It shows when we get together, you do some pretty good singing. But, you know, singing is not real singing. It's from the heart. Real singing is from the heart. And perhaps the best thing you do is when you're alone or in the shower or something. But singing, real singing, is from the heart. That's what singing is all about. And you don't ever sing unless you feel like it, really. Until you come here and I tell you. But when you get started, it makes you feel like it. It makes you feel like singing. But when you're alone or wherever you are and you start singing, you must be happy, right? And so that's what I say, it's from the heart, singing, singing. Now, we may not be able to carry a tune, so to speak, in a bucket. That's what the old saying is, right? He can't carry a tune in a bucket, or only an instrument he can play is the radio, you know. Or that one fellow said, if I was a soda machine, I would be a singer. But you can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The scripture tells us to make a joyful noise. And I've told you, and perhaps you've heard Brother Jim Eccles yourself. I've used him as an illustration. You know, Brother Jim is hard of hearing, practically deaf, and he can't hear himself sing. It's obvious. But he sings anyway. He makes a joyful noise unto the Lord. He's not the only one I've heard that. But that's what the scriptures tell us to do. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Everyone has been the recipient of God's goodness. Everyone. We'll see that a little more in a moment. Verse 2. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You're going to come in his presence. Do it with gladness and singing. Good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, we read. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I'm sure glad. And I'm going to go there with gladness. And gladly sing. Serve the Lord with gladness and sing. Turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 6. 1 Chronicles, right after 2 Kings, you'll find 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 6. Look at this. David, king, appointed singers. They were Levites that he appointed. You know, the Levites were the ones who were the priests over the Lord's house and around the services of worship. Various priests did various things. There were priests who were set over the wood, chopping the wood and making the bread and the candlesticks and on. Well, there's certain fellows of Levites, and that's fitting. We're all called priests. Are we not kings and priests? He that made us kings and priests. We're all about the service of our Lord, about his temple, right? And we're all appointed to this. Same. Look at 1 Chronicles 6, verses 31 and 32. Says, these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark had rest. And they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing in the tent. That's before Solomon built the house. Well, Solomon came along. Go over to chapter 9. Chapter 9 of 1 Chronicles. Chapter 9. David again says, these are the singers sheep of the fathers of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free, but they were employed in that work day and night. That's a good job, isn't it? The singing day and night. That's all they've come to do. That's a good job. That's a good job. And you know really that's about all we're required to do. Let us come before His presence with gladness and singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Solomon even more so. When Solomon built the temple, he set up singers in the temple. I was a rich man. I love music. I love good singing. I would hire me a full-time band all the time. Wouldn't you? Have them around all the time. Play me this or play me that. Sing this, sing that. And I guarantee I'd join in on it. Wouldn't you? I was a rich man. Well, Solomon was. And he did. Sing! I want to hear you sing. So does our God. It's music to His ears. The praise and thanksgiving of His people and music unto His ears. Gladness and singing, a merry heart make it glad. It makes us happy and cheerful, doesn't it? Doesn't it make us happy and cheerful? And the opposite is true as well. Now go back to the text. Verse 3. He says, know ye that the Lord, Psalm 100, verse 3, know ye. Know this, consider this, keep in mind that the Lord is God. It's He that has made us. He's our creator. Now, if you make something, whatever you make or create, you have done it for your purpose, right? You've done it for your own enjoyment. Is that not right? Listen to me carefully. If you make something, you do it, you make it for yourself, generally speaking. You're going to give it to somebody. But whatever you make it for your own enjoyment, your own use, your own purpose. That's what it's supposed to serve you when you make it. Well, God says, sing. I've made you for that reason. That's what He said. I made you. And I made you to serve my purpose, and that being glorify me. We're not ourselves. Look at the next line. It says, He hath made us, and not we ourselves. Do you have a marginal reference? It reads better. It says, and we, His we are. He made us, and His we are. We belong to Him. There's another scripture in the New Testament that says, you're not your own. You're bought with Christ. And so, whole purpose in life. Are you with me? Our whole purpose in life. It's to glorify our God. And the best way we can do it is with a thankful, glad heart. That's what we're to be employed to do by the King. His we are. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Read on. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. His people. We're His sheep. The Lord refers to us as animals. So my illustrations are pretty good. So my little animal king. Go back to Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I keep apologizing for using my animals, but I'm gonna quit. I enjoy the illustrations myself. My little animal kingdom. Every one of them there are kept, they're fed, they're watered, they're cared for by me. And why do I have that? Why do I have those animals? I don't make a dime on these animals. I have them for my enjoyment. That's it. If I don't get some enjoyment out of it, I'm not going to have it. Right? I enjoy simply looking at them. My brother Kelly puts his horses to work. Mine hadn't done a lick on her. Hadn't done a lick. I just like to look at them. I like to look out there and see them. It's therapy for me. Just to look out there and see them eating that grass. I love to pet those dogs. I like to come out in the morning and run up to me and just pet them. It's like to see them, pet them, enjoy them. I don't require anything great out of any of them. Neither does the Lord of us. Look at Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his way, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. That's not unreasonable. What does he require? Not a great work, but just to love him, serve him, give thanks unto him. Now let me ask you something. Getting back to my little kingdom. What if one of those animals, what if one of those animals rarely came home? I rarely saw it. Rarely showed up. What if one of those animals didn't get along with the rest of them? What if one of those animals was always growling? And generally mean. What would I do with that animal? Huh? The answer is easy, isn't it? Well, now a believer, someone who claims to be a believer who is generally unhappy and miserable and growling and mean, is either very ungrateful, very ignorant, very mature, or lost. That's just a fact. We've got every reason for joy and rejoicing. And God's people have great cause for joy and rejoicing. Most people on planet Earth do. Scripture says that. Psalm we had in the bulletins, the Lord is good unto all his work. Most people have more cause to be happy and joyful than sad. Our blessings far outweigh our difficulties, especially in the United States. Right? Is that not right? Certainly. Every one of us in here. I know you. I know all of us. Our blessings far, far outweigh our difficulties. Far outweigh. We should be happy and thankful. He says in verse 4, he says, and again in verse 3, that's why he has us. Where is she? He's not going to put up with a cantankerous, mean, ungrateful. That's not she. Either that or they're just very, very immature, ignorant, and the Lord will straighten that out. But he says in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We're to walk in this door with thankful hearts. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving. This is the Lord's house. It's called the Gates of Zion. Jerusalem of old was a walled city. It had gates of entrance and various service gates. The eastern gate being the main entrance, which is the picture of Christ, who is the way into the city. But it was a protected and fenced city, and so is his church. The Lord does so. He protects it. He hedges it about. He walls it. There's but one gate, and that is Christ, the door. We are to enter into this gate with thanksgiving, with a smile on our face. Yes, we are. You can't be thankful and sad at the same time. Not really. Not the same thankful and morose as sad, David. We're to enter with a smile on our face, a pleasant word of greeting. Five times in the New Testament, Paul and Peter both tell us to greet the holy brethren with a holy kiss. Five times. In various epistles, we're told to greet the brethren with a holy kiss. That is a greeting. That doesn't necessarily mean an actual kiss. Do it. That's what you feel like doing. Do it. A lot of the brethren do that. Our brethren. That's fine. Hug, greeting, glad to see you. That's fine. Here, here. So that's why we're here, to build one another up. Come in, smile on our face, a pleasant word of greeting, a holy kiss, a song in the heart, and a song on the lips. That's what our God says to do. I don't feel like it. Do it anyway. Unless we grieve the Holy Spirit and bring somebody else down. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about this. It's about God's glory. We're singers of the Lord. Let me just give you an illustration. It's a very simple illustration. If I came into your house, I didn't greet you at the door. I went over and sat on the couch, scouted, didn't speak. Right. Would you have me back again? Huh? Would you walk me around? Very good illustration, is not? Huh? We're here for God's glory, God's praise, and thanksgiving. Let us come and to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Now, we cannot always be happy and joyful. I realize that. I'm not. You're not. We can't always be happy and joyful. There are difficulties. There are trials. Of course, we go through sadness, grief, sorrow, and depression. Yes, our general attitude should be one of thanksgiving and praise. Yes. Our general attitude should be one of joy. It is not glorifying to the Lord to be a melancholy, morose person. That means you don't really believe that God is in control. You don't really believe that He sent everything your way. That is the chief reason the children of Israel did not enter the promised land, murmuring and complaining. They never could find anything good, although God kept giving good things freely. They didn't deserve anything. They didn't deserve anything, those rotten, ungrateful people. Yet God kept raining bread and bringing them water, killing their enemies and all this and that, kept doing, doing, doing. And then they got in a heap of trouble. Then they called on Him and He saved them. Time and time again. Then they got real time. Then they fell right back into that murmur. They were a sorry lot, weren't they? And so are we. Well, this tells us to enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful, first of all. Be thankful unto Him. Bless His name. Be thankful. You know something? Thanksgiving, if we put this into practice, it will produce and maintain our joy. Yes, it will. You put it into practice, it will beget joy. You've heard this illustration. 15 years, I'm starting to come up with new ones. my sister's daughter, Carrie, when she was just a little girl. I don't know how old she was, three old enough to know, and 3 or 4 years old. She came down one morning for breakfast. It must have been about 5. Going to school earlier than that, 4 years old. She came down one morning, everybody was sitting there waiting on her at the breakfast table. She came down and that was kind of, didn't speak to anybody. Snarl on her face. And Bob or Becky, the one, both of them wisely said, "Young lady, you go right back to those steps and go to your room. And don't come down here until you have a smile on your face. You're not going to ruin our day. You're not going to make everybody else unhappy. There's more people living in this house than just you. You come back down when you can be a little more cheerful." They would not let her be like that. Do you know Carrie Simpson today? Do you know her? I have never seen her not smile. And she's had some sadness. But I have never seen that. She brightens up the room. She goes, you know, if you're feeling bad, you just have to run off. We've got people in here like that. Tammy, every time we ask Tammy, how are you? Wonderful. She's going to have the worst day, but I couldn't handle it. But it's just one. Yeah, and all in all, that's what we're called to do. And if we put it into practice, it will produce and maintain joy. Considering all the things we have to be thankful for, also, and that will lighten your heart. Here's the key. Here is the secret, if you want to call it that, of happiness. Be thankful. Consider what you have cause to be thankful for. Don't be thinking about the few bad things in your life. Be thinking about the multitude of good things that the Lord entrusts you with. The multitude of reasons to be thankful. And it will lighten the heart, it will gladden the heart, it will dispel the gloom. Yes. I love that hymn by, it says, ye saints, talks about behind every cloud, there's a smiling providence of God. There's a silver line. That's where we got that old saying, silver line behind the dark cloud. On that old, we should have to quote it again. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are filled with blessings and shall break with mercy on your head. That's it. And all in all, you have it. It was filled with gloom, I'm telling you. This is what our God says us to do. Be thankful. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, with a kind word, with a cheerful word, with a cheerful countenance, with a kiss of greeting. Be thankful. We have every reason to bless his name. Come here and bless his name. You will not be blessed unless you come here to bless his name. That's right. That's right. Verse 5. It says, for, now here's the reason. For the Lord is good. How good has the Lord been to you, Maxwell? Nancy said that to a lady she used to work with, a local lady. Said, what did you say? She ain't done nothing for me. You remember that? He ain't done nothing for me. A business owner you were working for. He ain't done nothing for me. The Lord is good. Very good. How good has the Lord been to you? Everybody. Look around. You're not in a wheelchair. I lay on the bed in the got your family beside you, healthy. Got home. How good has the Lord been to you? I'll make you real thankful and joyful. In light of all the misery that many people are going through at this present time, we watched Hannah and Gabe and I watched a show last night on the Nazi occupation of Poland. True story. That PS movie. True story. Famous piano composer, performer who was, along with the rest of the Polish people, was captured by the Nazis and imprisoned in cruel camps. It was horrible. Our sad parable that was just filled from start to finish with the truth. Wholesale slaughter was the Jew. And, that while that is very sad and very difficult to watch, it makes you very uncomfortable to watch all that poverty and misery, people just dying, literally dying of starvation and captivity and so forth. It's difficult. they'd see things like that. That's the fact, that's the Americans. We've been through very little debt violation of any kind, ever, in this generation. And we've got a lot to be thankful for and a lot to answer for. A lot to answer for. I don't know how good has God been to you. You. Okay. Be thankful. Because of my affliction, whatever we go through, so it might be difficult at the time, and it is. Some of them are very difficult. Yet, their lives compared with the blessings, the ratio of trials to blessings is very small. Their life compared to all the blessings we get. We live our lives in 90%, at least 90% of goodness. Very little trial. Their life compared with what some people go through. David was a king, yet he was on the run. And he was, you remember he was in a cave. Last Sunday we looked at him in a cave running. Here for his life, early and later on in life, as an older man, he runs from Saul about Absalom. Compared with what some people are called to endure, right? I'm affliction. Well, in Mexico, it'll bring you back to this country realizing what was happening, how good the Lord has been. Those people down there live on dirt floors and grass huts and cook on an open fire and no plumbing. And a right well that the whole town drinks from. A hurricane comes along and wipes out their little grass hut and then what? And yet, when the Lord revealed the gospel to them, they come into church, they come into the worship service on Wednesday, they walk miles to get there. With old ragged sandals on, in the pitch black dark, and walk a long way to get there, and get there with a smile on their face. Just so happy to be there. Had their one best clean shirt on. And just happy to be, aren't they? You're there. They're going to be on the front row of the Lord. Going to get the best. Now we're all going to get the same. But I'm glad of that. But the last to be first. In light of what other people go through, our blessings are so great. And a lot of afflictions compared to our future blessings. What we're called to endure here. He said they won't even come. They won't even come to mind. He says the former thing, Isaiah 65 says the former thing shall not even remember or come to mind. The Lord uses the illustration of a woman giving birth to a child of this happiness and joy that leads to the spirit. You ladies, when you were pregnant, a child, and you're going through that. 9 months seem like an eternity. Especially the last 2 hours of labor. It seemed like 2 years, didn't it? I know it was married. Mindy helped her Stephen was out of town, and she said, Mary looked like an absolute monster. You're ready. Get this thing out, right? It's over with. But the Lord said, as soon as that baby's born, all forgotten. Like it never happened. Is that right? Would you go through it again for that boy right there? 10 times over, would you not? It was hard that you did that for. Would you go through it for all forgotten? For the joy that a baby is born, the scripture says. Travail, difficulty. Seems like it's a long time. As soon as that child is born, all you forget all about it. And it's so joyful,
things of your life. And so it is with the believer when we're birthed into the kingdom and out of this travail called earth. Like it never happened. And it'll be an eternity of nothing but pure, unbridled joy without cessation. So our life afflictions are but for a moment. But for a moment. All right, here he says, the greatest goodness of all, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. This is the greatest goodness of God of all, is that God has chosen us for the foundation of the world. God in his goodness revealed the gospel to us. God in his goodness led us to repentance. God had mercy on our rebellious souls. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not concerned. This is why Brother Barnard's statement holds so much weight. So worth hearing. He said, anything this side of hell is mercy, and we ought to be thankful. Amen. Because what we've earned, what we deserve from God, from a lifetime of rebellion and sin and ingratitude and not even giving God a thought, we deserve wrath and judgment. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, would he love us even when we were dead in trespasses, it had quickened us to always find grace. This is the greatest goodness of all, of God. He in his mercy has spared us. Goodness and mercy of God in sending his Son to this cesspool called planet Earth to redeem the lives of us from madness. Praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. And his mercy endures forever. We're going to keep grumbling. We shouldn't, but we will. But his mercy endures. How good is God going to be? And he will keep doing so, being so. How good is God in mercy? And the last thing is his truth endures to all generations. His truth. Turn in closing, if you would, to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. His mercy, his truth endureth to all generations. God's truth is going to keep preaching the gospel as long as there's any left. As long as there's any on planet Earth. His truth. The Lord's goodness, folks, that we have the truth, and we're not caught up in a lie. This is the greatest goodness of all, folks. This is the greatest of God's goodness. You're sitting here hearing the truth and not a lie. No, that's the goodness of God. Oh, my. Truth, which sets us free. The truth, which enlightens our darkness. The truth, which leads us, guides us, instructs us. The truth which causes us to give thanks. Truth. We're sitting here hearing the truth. You're not hearing a preacher who's trying to pacify you and coddle you and make you feel good, but it's only the truth for your good. Truth. Tell himself the truth, which he needs. The same thing he needs. It's of the Lord's goodness that we're here tonight to hear the truth. This is the greatest goodness. This is how the Lord saves us, teaches us. The truth will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6 and 7 in closing. I quote these in closing. Be careful for nothing. That is, don't be full of anxious care and worry about anything. That's what that means. That's unbelief is what that means. But in everything, good man, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't just ask. Do a lot of thinking. You know, the more thinking you do, probably less asking. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Yes, you can. Yes, you may. All your requests be made, but with thanksgiving. Your requests will be much fewer if your thanks are much greater. That's your request. And the peace of God, what we need is peace with God, which passes all understanding. That is, people can understand how someone gets through this, gets through that. This is how. We'll keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. He's our benefactor. He's our help. He's our present help. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And in his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth all. That's the Lord. Alright. We're told to say, you want to sing another song. Alright. You sing another song. Jerry, just. You don't have to do it. Number 231. You get the same thing. 221 is green. Okay, 221. Something for the Lord.